You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Saturday. As promised, we are doing the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Here over the weekend, since I missed a couple days due to my stupidity, in which caused me to throw my back out. Still not 100%, but probably more like 70%. Nonetheless, I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we are going to get into today. I did a 10. Sometimes it's interesting. It's one hand scratches the other is the way this works sometimes for me. So I had 10 thoughts about where Michigan stands at this moment as we wait to enter the 2023 season. And we've obviously got a lot of time. We got a whole summer to get through. But I had 10 thoughts, and I thought, like, all right, let's write them down, and we'll talk about them. I wrote them, and I talked about them ad nauseum in one Wolverines Wire. So that's the one hand scratching the other. I write it for Wolverines Wire, and then I talk about it, or vice versa. So let's get to it. We'll do something like 3-4-3 to cover all 10. And number one is something that I talked about yesterday. I believe in the mailbag, and it's this could be the year that the single season passing record is actually broken. Again, the bar is so low. It's the high bar for Michigan, but the bar is so low because it's 3,331 yards. It's set by John Navarre in 2003. If you extrapolate that over to 15 games, it's really easy to hit. It's 223 yards passing a game. If it's 13 games, it's 256 yards passing. Again, Michigan's played 13 games quite a few times, hasn't gotten there. I do think that if Shea Patterson didn't tear his oblique in on the first play from scrimmage in the season opener in 2019, I think that season A looks different, and B, I think he finished out that season in the last three regular season games with 300 yards passing in each game, and everyone's like, where's this been? Well, he's been unhealthy. So I think that season would have looked a lot different had he not gotten injured the way he had. But otherwise, I mean, it's right there for the taking. Now, I think the big question is, does Michigan decide we have the two of the best running backs in the country? We have the best running back in the country, and we have another who is right there. Do we just run the ball? And there's a difference between running the ball a lot and running the ball almost exclusively. Penn State last year was running the ball almost exclusively. Something like 46 carries, something ridiculous. You don't have to do that to run the ball effectively. I mean, if you want to be able to say, hey, we got like whatever it was, 300-400 yards on the ground. Yeah, then doing it that way is going to be a statement, right? And certainly Michigan likes making those statements under Jim Harbaugh, especially when it was like, oh, you know, Urban Meyer saying they will not be able to run the ball against Penn State. It's like almost like Jim Harbaugh heard that and said, want to bet. But you have J.J. McCarthy. And I think it's important this year, having a five-star quarterback and a guy who's fully capable of passing the ball downfield, that you show that you can. A, you want your quarterback to be drafted. And you want your quarterback to be drafted high. Maybe not even worried as much about this year, but I think in general, you also want the recruiting bump of guys like Jaden Davis. You want them to feel comfortable. I am going into a system in which I can have the opportunity to showcase my skills, and I can get drafted as a result. That's important. The other important thing is to look at national champions, right? Who have the national champions been in recent years? Well, last year it was Georgia, and the year before that it was Georgia. The year before that it was Alabama. The year before that it was LSU. The year before that it was Alabama. The year before that it was Clemson. What do all of those teams have in common of what I just mentioned? They all had eclipsed that number passing. Even Georgia in 2021 had something like 3,778 yards passing. Certainly wasn't like a high-flying passing game, but they passed for 4,500 yards last year. Stetson Bennett was one of the more prolific passers in the country last year, and it was not something that you would have expected. And they still had Kendall Milton and some other guys that I don't really know who's the running backs for Georgia. So, because I think Zamir White was gone and whatever. They had running backs, right, that could certainly carry the load there. You look at LSU, you look at Alabama. In recent years, they all have passed the ball. The only outlier going back to 2011, and granted it's for several years, is Alabama. Alabama had several years where they weren't eclipsing that number. They were maybe around like 2,700 passing yards in some of those years, but they had, you know, one year they had Derrick Henry, you know, they had Mark Ingram, they had a bunch of different guys that were getting the job done on the ground. Michigan could certainly do the same and follow that pattern, but it when you go back and look at it, it's kind of more of a regular thing that if you can pass the ball and do so at a high level, you're putting yourself in that opportunity to win a national championship. I think that even though TCU, I think that one of the reasons why TCU had success is because they could pass the ball. Right? So, number two, it feels like this could be the best Michigan defense under Jim Harbaugh. I do think that that is kind of a weird thing to say. They've had a lot of really good ones. And in 2016, I still contend was the best. It just kind of felt like if they needed to get a stop at any point in time, they were going to be able to do it. Yes, they lost three games. There was a couple. They gave up 30, granted, in double overtime to Ohio State. They gave up, 34, 36 or whatever to Florida State. They didn't want to be there. I don't think that this necessarily has that same level of personnel, but I do love this personnel, and I think it's very complimentary. You look at Chris Jenkins being kind of the engine. You have what people are calling the best cornerback in the country, and Will Johnson. I love the linebacking core. I love the guys surrounding Chris Jenkins. I do have some questions, which we'll get to momentarily, about some things. But, I mean, the safety position looks set. You've got one corner set. Linebacker group is set. Defensive interior is set. Edge rusher, we've got questions. So I guess I'm getting to it now. But we'll get to it later. But I'm looking at it. I look at the schedule and I say, who really is going to challenge them in the places where Michigan can be challenged? Secondary, pass game. I just don't think anyone's going to until you get to that Penn State game in week 11. So I think that you're going to see some eye-opening numbers in kind of a similar way, especially the second year of Jesse Minter. Third year of the defense, I think it's really going to start to come together in a way that we haven't really seen yet. Number three, if Roman Wilson stays healthy, this should be his breakout year. Listen, if you've been watching or listening to this podcast for some time, you know that that's been long something that I've been kind of waiting for. Like I mentioned in the article and I've mentioned here ad nauseum, he has been injured in week five multiple, two straight years. So keep him healthy. Leave him in Ann Arbor. Well, when you go to Nebraska, you know, can travel him to Minnesota. But I've also often called him like a diet Devontae Smith. He's got the same body type, the similar types of skills, same type of speed. I really could see him taking off. But I think the big question is, Michigan has often had guys of his type of caliber, and then they just don't use them, right? AJ Henning. All of this offseason talk last year, oh, he's going to be Deebo Samuel. And then they leave him on the bench. So, and there have certainly been times where a healthy Roman Wilson just kind of is quiet, right? Like Rutgers game last year. Wasn't like he was, or not Rutgers, but Maryland game last year. Wasn't like he was out there setting the world on fire like he was the first two games of the season. He was healthy. It's just that he didn't figure prominently into their plans. Michigan needs to make him a priority, especially given the wide receiver group. There's not a lot of obvious consistency there. All right, we're going to continue on here in a moment. We have got seven more of my thoughts to get to. Before we do that, and I forgot that I set my computer to make it so it, if I haven't been on that web page in like a couple of hours, it resets. So I had to reopen it here. Looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories, and you need the best tasting protein bar ever built? You have got to try this. If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, and considering I'm up 30 pounds since fall, and 50 pounds since last summer, then if you don't want to compromise on taste, I've got just the thing for you. Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and they taste amazing. Seriously, they taste so amazing you won't think they're good for you. So you have got to try it. And you know what? I went on and I bought a box of Built Bars on the show yesterday. That tells you I put my money where my mouth is. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered 100% real dark chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, and cookies and cream. I'm not really sure how Built does it. These bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And guess what? Now you don't have to wait to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built Bars at Built.com, but now you can actually get them at your local Walmart or at Sam's Club, while you can still get your specialty flavors at Built.com. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream bar, double chocolate bar, or coconut puff. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box of our hit flavors, Brownie Batter Puff and Churro Puff. You can thank me later. All right, we've got more microphone falling as usual. I don't even think it matters audio-wise. It's just, it feels weird when it's down at my chest level instead of being up near my face. Still remember all the negative comments from back in the day of, like, you know, it sounds like you're far away from the mic. So, remembering and executing. All right, number 4 of my thoughts, continuing on, not worried about the attrition except for one. And the one person that, out of all the people that Michigan lost to the transfer portal, Ayabi Oki still burns me. It felt like, you know, he wasn't like dominating, but he just had his moments, and it was like, man, you get him another year, it's just going to be so good. I completely understand why he wanted to follow Biff Poggi. That's a great move for him. I've seen the mentorship in person. It's real, right? But it still stinks. Out of everyone else, you look at Nakai Hill-Green and RJ Moten, I think those sting from a leadership perspective. Those are two guys that I would have pegged as being team captains, especially Nakai. Nakai, it was like year 2, I was just like, that's a team captain in waiting. And for him to be gone, that's disappointing. All the other guys, Taylor Upshaw, he's had his shot, man. 2 straight years of getting to be the starter out of the gates, and 2 straight years of being supplanted by someone else. That's not great for him. AJ Henning, you know, it didn't really do anything last year, so it's not really much of a loss in that sense. I mean, you're going to lose a bit on the punt return, but I'm sure that they've got other guys that can step into that role. Andrell Anthony, lots of hype, but little production. So there's a lot of guys that have left where it's like, you look at different guys at their position groups, like Nakai Hill-Green, penciled him as a starter, but they got Michael Barrett, Ernest Hausman. They've got Jimmy Rolder, Jaden Hood. There's all kinds of guys that could step up there, right? Yeah, same thing, RJ Moten at safety. There's just a, you know, Zeke Berry and Keon Sab, and, you know, you still got Quentin Johnson and even Caden Colasar. You look at really just kind of across the board, there's a lot of depth. Defensive end is the only place where there is not really proven depth, which is why it's kind of like, yeah, we're all thinking Braden McGregor could take that big step up. It's Derek Moore's time in year 2. Josiah Stewart looked great in the spring game and had 12 and a half sacks 2 years ago. However, Ayabi Oki already kind of showed us, being second on the team in sacks, that he could get the job done, and it was kind of an exciting prospect to seeing what he would look like this year. So that one burns me a little bit. All right, the only two position groups I'm concerned about, defensive end, which I just mentioned, just because, again, there's Jalen Harrell is really the only one that has like the requisite experience. And usually we enter these years being like, you know, even with Mike Morris, we got kind of a glimpse of him being able to do what he did, you know? So you hearken back to, it just always seemed like guys would start coming on. Even Taco Charlton, you know, had his moments before he became a starter. And then you had the Chase Winovich, Rashawn Gary. You knew that, like, that duo was going to be good. And then while you waited, you knew that Aiden Hutchinson, Kwity Paye was going to be good. You didn't know about David Ojabo. That was a fun surprise. But, hey, it worked out. You don't really have that right now. But nonetheless, wide receiver, which I already also mentioned, that's an issue. You just lost three guys because you lost Ronnie Bell. You lost two to the transfer portal, A.J. Henning and Andrell Anthony. So now the two that you can count on are Cornelius Johnson and Roman Wilson, who have both been streaky. And now you're sitting there being like, who else? Peyton O'Leary looked awesome in the spring game. Is he going to do that in the season? Is it going to be one of the freshmen, Tyler Morris or Darius Clemens, who certainly have that capability, but we just haven't seen it? Is it going to be one of the incoming freshmen, Carmelo English, Frederick Moore, who looked great in the spring game, and Samaj Morgan, who's gotten a lot of the hype in the spring ball? So I think that those are the two areas. And I'll also add corner. The corner is actually supposed to be the other one, not defensive end. Like, cornerback is, you know, you've got one guy in Will Johnson, but again, you just have a bunch of guys that you're like, hey, Jaden McBurrows might be good. Amarion Walker is a unicorn, but did not look good in the spring game. You know, Miles Pollard made some plays in the spring game too. But you don't know who's the opposite. The good news is that Michigan can work all of these things out, right? Non-conference schedule makes that possible. It's easy. You don't really face a team with a pulse until week 11. Unless there's some kind of surprise. Certainly there could be. You know, you see that every now and again. You know, Colorado in 2016 wasn't supposed to be a game, and then they ended up being in the Pac-12 championship game, right? So it happens. The only teams on the schedule I'm concerned about, I just preluded to it, it's Penn State, Maryland, and Ohio State. Those three in a row, because you look at the schedule, like, who else are you really concerned about? I know some people will say Minnesota. Listen, Minnesota lost so much this offseason. They lost Tanner Morgan. They lost Mo Ibrahim. They lost John Michael Schmidt. They lost others that I can't think of. Minnesota is going to be in a much different spot than it has been, right? And going up against a team that came off of college football playoff and returns the bulk of its team, right? That's a lot. Nebraska is a tough place to play. Matt Rhule is a miracle worker. I don't know that that's a miracle he's going to get done, right? Got some good quarterbacks, Jeff Sims and other dude who I can't think of. They've got some guys, right? But it's not caliber of take down a top-notch elite level team. So it's... You just kind of go through the list otherwise. Rutgers, Indiana, no and no. You look at Purdue coming to Michigan with Ryan Walters, no Aiden O'Connell, not scary. Really, it's those three. Penn State, who I'm less concerned. I mean, I think that's the biggest challenge, to be honest, playing at Happy Valley. Drew Aller is their version of J.J. McCarthy. And they've got a duo of running backs that seem pretty good. They lost a lot on defense. James Franklin is still the head coach. And it's not like they're markedly different either than they were last year when Michigan ran them off the field. So, and the Maryland, Talia Tagovailoa, I think is just really good. Josh Gattis is the offensive coordinator there. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder for that game. And he knows the personnel quite a bit. So, I think that can be a challenge, especially because it's a road game sandwiched in between Penn State and Ohio State. And Ohio State, as much as a lot of Michigan fans want to act like, they're just going to get beat now every year, because that's what we always do whenever you beat a team more than once in a row. that's still a scary, dangerous game. But it's at the big house. I'm very concerned for Ohio State in terms of... is their quarterback going to be anywhere close? Great receivers, right? But just as much as a receiver can make a quarterback, maybe CJ Stroud helped make Emeka Egbuka. Maybe, you know, Marvin Harrison didn't, you know, he had his one moment really against Michigan last year, and that was really it. So just those three, really. Finally, this segment, why I am not concerned about the offensive line. I understand that this is me with a paper argument, really, paper tiger or whatever, you know, straw man. I don't think anyone out there is being like, I am really concerned about the Michigan offensive line or anything like that. But nonetheless, I mean, I've seen some be like, oh, well, they're replacing Olu and you can't just replace Olu. I like the three candidates there. And I like that it is a competition between three guys, Drake Nugent, Raheem Anderson, Greg Crippen. I think it's a quality problem. I think that whoever you have there is going to end up being at least pretty good. And then you're really only replacing one other starting position. And right now you penciled in Ladarius Henderson. But, I mean, Jeff Percy started against Rutgers. He's been in the program for a couple of years now. He's a senior. And then out of the other three positions, you've got six guys who have started for three positions. And two of them are obvious. And that's Zach Zinter and Trevor Keegan. The right tackle position is going to be either Trente Jones or Carson Barnhart. And then you've also got Gio Alhadi and, like I mentioned, Jeff Percy before. And then, I don't know, I'm getting lost in the soup here. But I just think that it is such a really good situation. The only other concern I would have is that Sherrone Moore, being the sole offensive coordinator, maybe can't devote as much singular time to the offensive line as he had before. But wouldn't write him off from winning a third straight Joe Moore Award. I think that that certainly is on the table. All right, we're going to continue on. There's three more coming up here in just a moment. All right, let's finish it up. Three more of my thoughts. The past still haunts me, though it shouldn't. This goes all the way back, right? 2006. You know, it really, everything kind of changed for Michigan with the death of Bo Schembechler and Michigan losing to Ohio State the next game or the next day. The program changed. I have very strong memories of entering 2007 being like, this is it. Who's going to beat them? Well, turns out a lot of teams. And then going through the Rich Rod era and then going through the Brady Hoke era. And then even in the Jim Harbaugh era, just like I've predicted a lot of games that I was very adamant in my head that Michigan was going to win, only to see them not only lose some of them, but get blown out. 2019 Wisconsin, just run off the field. 2019 Penn State. You know, it's 2017 Penn State or 2017 Michigan State, 2020 Michigan State. There's just so many of these games where it's like Michigan, in retrospect, you look at it and say, well, that wasn't a very good Michigan team, it turns out. But a lot of times we don't know that until they go through those games. Now, the reason why it shouldn't is because we do know this is a good Michigan team because we have seen all of these players in action. And we've seen them get to a college football playoff. We know what this is. We know what this coaching staff is capable of. So it shouldn't haunt me. But there is also still a part of me as we talk about, well, Michigan could and should win the national championship. It's kind of like, you know, I'm still kind of used to Brady Hoke on the sidelines. You know what I mean? So that's just what that is. This one, I think this is kind of a boring one. It's probably my most boring one, who I think are strong candidates for team captain. It just is what it is. Obviously, Mike Sanders still is coming back, but otherwise you need new captains all kind of across the board here. Eric Aull and Cade McNamara were captains last year. They left. That doesn't necessarily speak just strictly of them. Michigan did bring in four guys who were team captains from other teams. But I look at a guy like Mike Barrett, who I don't know about Mike Barrett. Because he doesn't seem like a vocal guy, but he's been around forever, so maybe. Junior Colson seems like a strong candidate for a team captain. Chris Jenkins, obviously a strong candidate for team captain. Those are the defensive guys on offense. I hope it's like Zach Zinter and or Trevor Keegan. I think Blake Corum certainly is going to be one of them. And then J.J. McCarthy, I don't know if they'll choose juniors or not, but I would love to see J.J. get that nod as well. Finally, why this could be the year Michigan wins it all. this is the best shot since 2006. And I know, I feel like 2016 was the shot, really. But 2006, Michigan was 11-0 and lost by 3 to Ohio State and was in the conversation for still going to the national championship game. If there was still a playoff, obvious. If there was a playoff back then, Michigan would have obviously been in it and probably would have been number 2, and Florida would have ended up being number 3. Nonetheless, the good news is I don't think any of the teams that Michigan faces this year that they faced last year are any better than they were a year ago. Penn State, maybe. That's it. I don't, you know, I guess Maryland as well, but I still think Michigan's better than them. What's more, the other teams that you are talking about being in the playoff, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, you can name it, right? None of them are necessarily better than they were at this time last year. Almost everyone lost a quarterback. Now the question is, does someone come up? TCU really destroyed the happy to be here argument, but maybe Michigan catches someone who maybe looks more talented, right? Urban Meyer came out and said Texas is the most talented team in his eyes in college football. What if Texas makes it? I mean, Texas has been back every year, as we all know. They certainly could struggle from a, we didn't know we were going to be here. We're happy to be here. Michigan, you would hope, has learned its lessons. But this is the shot. Because next year, you're going to lose a lot of these pieces. You're going to lose a very strong component of the team. And even if J.J. McCarthy comes back for his senior year, and there's a lot of guys, and it really could be an upstart type group. I wouldn't put the money on winning it next year, kind of regardless. This year really feels like if you want to win a national championship, this is your best shot in the last 17 years. So take advantage of it. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Sunday with something. Monday, we're going to do, we're going to have someone from PFF. We're going to do that again. We haven't done that, had them on in a long time. And then we'll go from there. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again very soon. Peace.